You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Okay, we haven't. It's been 2 days since we've caught up with Patrick, and a lot has happened in Minnesota Twinsville. It's funny because we did the episode with you a couple days ago, you know, with the latest on the Twins might, hey, look out, Mets, he might sign. And lo and behold, he did. And they offered like $40 million more over 6 years than the Mets did. So I'm eating some crow. But How did Scott Boras, I didn't really hear much of the press conference. I was sort of reading your tweets. How did he spin this whole thing?
It was a spin job of fantastic. Because the question was going to be, okay, Carlos, how about your ankle? Blah, blah, blah. How about the ankle? And he turned it into basically an indictment of the orthopedia industry. There's this raging controversy in the orthopedic industry as to whether all judgments should be made by hands-on people who have treated a guy in the past and have dealt with him, or reading MRIs. And apparently it's this raging controversy that's splitting apart the orthopedic industry. None of us knew about this, but every answer he gave, what do you say, Judd? 8 answers, did you watch it?
I watched the whole thing. Yep, yeah. 8 to 10.
6 of the 8 answers went off on the on this controversy in the orthopedic industry. But he looked a little defeated. He was not the bouncy Scott that he usually is. He was not the confident man. He was this was a good place for him to have this conference in Minnesota. Did they run it? They probably ran it little bit anyway. ESPN nationally, right? Because of the Mets interest and stuff. But he looked a little defeated to me. So
Correa pumped Boras up. Like Carlos was like assuring him, "You did a great job. You did fantastic." And Boras was sort of slumped down. And Boras, the funniest thing was he so badly wanted to say, "We shouldn't be here. We should be in San Francisco. We should be in New York, except for these idiot doctors screwed us."
Yes, right, the doctors. And, some of us in the audience, as we heard these wonderful tributes to the Twins medical staff, were having mild chuckles after last season. The Mets said no to Chris Paddock. Let's remember that. And
that's true.
Right? Yeah. So I'm not. By the way, I think he's good for 6 years. I think he'll be fine. The guy looks like he's fantastic shape. You've ever seen. He's working out, and he's a sharp guy. And I think the thing is, you got him for 6 instead of 12. That's a good deal. That's a great deal. It's 34. He can play till he's 34 on it. He's played 8 years on his ankle. The ankle was injured in 2014. The next year, he was the rookie of the year. So it wasn't, somebody fixed it. I don't know who the original surgeon was, but it was quite a performance by Scott. I said, as most things do, it reminded me of Otter at the hearing for his fraternity in Animal House, when he turned it into an indictment of the entire fraternity society in America. Right? That's basically, it wasn't a controversy that the Twins were passing on him. The controversy that is ripping apart orthopedia. Yes. is whether you should just read an MRI or you should be somebody who's, well, if you didn't do it just by reading MRIs, then nobody ever go anywhere, because they're not. He's basically saying the Twins doctor dealt with him and he handled the, and they should be making the decisions. Well, yeah, but now he's a free agent, so the other doctors have to read MRIs, right?
Yes,
That's how they're going to make their judgments. But it was,
by the way,
it was a Boris performance of the first magnitude. Yes.
I want to play 10 seconds of this clip that we were actually digging around the other day for what are the New York sports radio hosts saying about the Vikings? And mm-hmm. they're all just kind of condescending. They're clowning Kirk Cousins. No. But the first 10 seconds of this clip, it's the end of this overnight guy on WFAN, Sal. He's wrapping up a point. This is like from 3 days ago before Correa signed with the Twins. He's wrapping up a segment about Carlos Correa and the Mets and the Twins here. Check this out.
I think the Mets have drawn their line in the sand and are waiting on Boris. I mean, come on. Minnesota is not going to have anywhere near what the Mets have to spend. Matt is calling from Far Rock.
Well, the other thing I took, you know, they $200 million, you know. But oh, here another spin by Scott. This can be, you know, because the magic number for Scott was always $300 million, right?
Yeah.
This can be a $300 million if you throw in what he made with the Twins last year, and he goes to the full extent of the thing. But that was a desperate Scott moment to get $300 million out there, right? We made $300 million.
What's the Twins? So Falvey did admit sort of like, yeah, you know, there was some luck involved, but was it? So Boris said that Falvey just kept calling him, even though
that's what they kept saying. Yeah, we're still interested. Well, things started falling. I think once the, you know, Giants thing, you know, and that's what I got the impression. By the way, Falvey. Now somebody said he ultimately was used 17 times during the speech, because we used to look for collaboratively all the time with Falvey. But I think he's really smoothed out his BS game, don't you? Because it used to be really kind of stilted and
buzzwords.
You know what I should be saying. He's a pretty smooth BS. He's a real, you know, 6 years on a job has made him a really smooth BSer. I got to give him credit for that.
And Thad's gone now, so like
he used to have to bring in Levine.
Yeah, Thad sits in the crowd now.
Thad can't sit in the table because they got to have Joe Pollad up there, because they're trying to they are pushing the Joe Pollad is in charge narrative very hard here. So that's why they had
Joe. No Thad, no Dave St. Peter.
Dave
different.
Was in the back, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I did have a chance to tell Scott the my favorite Scott Boras story, which goes back to his first real client, Tim Belcher, 1983, when he was negotiating with George Brophy, the hot-headed Irishman, who it was a little different relationship between Scott and the Twins back then. And I've told this story many times, but Brophy was screaming at him down there in the Metrodome offices about how he was a horse bleep player and he was a horse bleep negotiator, and he was, you know, screaming and hollering at him, and it was resounding around in that little office, and he slammed down the telephone, and some young woman who had just started working for the Twins came over and said to Jim Rantz, who was Brophy's assistant, is Mr. Brophy okay, Mr. Rantz? He says, oh, yeah, he was just talking to his wife. Oh. Humor, 1983 humor right there. Yep. Can't get away with it.
And anymore. Belcher didn't sign, so Belcher Scott Boras got his way.
Calvin moves into the new stadium. 1 month into the stadium, he trades all his guys who were making any money, right?
Yep.
Smalley, Weininger, he trades his whole team. The next year, you know, they're the worst team in baseball. They have the number one draft choice. They don't sign one, two, or three. The first pick, Tim Belcher. Second pick, Billy Swift, who pitched a long time in the big leagues. And third player, Oda B. McDowell Jr., who played quite a bit in the big leagues. Those were the first three picks. They signed none of them. Welcome to the Metrodome, ladies and gentlemen. Come on and follow our Twins. It's going to be great. And 4 years later, they won the World Series with all these young guys.
Too much talent, Pat. They couldn't sign them. Too much talent.
You know what they drew their first year in the Metrodome? New stadium with a roof. 915,000, I believe it was.
Wow.
It was under a million. It was under a million.
Did we do well in April? Did people come out as like a novelty and then they just stopped because the team was bad? Or was it?
The one thing it did was it made opening night a thing. You know, the people started coming on opening night. But before that, opening day wasn't really a big deal. I mean, it was a couple of times when the sun was out and all the youth went out there and drank. But it wasn't a big deal until they moved to the Dome. But no, they did not draw well. Yeah, actually, you know what they did get? They did start getting the college, you know, because, hell, you could sit out in left field for $3 or something.
It was great. Yep. Yeah, the Hormel Classic the Dairy Queen Classic, whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for Twins games, you could sit out in left field for nothing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, right. They had Target. They had deals for Twins games and stuff. But, yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, I'm glad they signed him. It'll be more fun to watch. I'm fine with it, but yeah. I am really fearful they're going to trade Arise.
Well, that was my next question, is sort of what's next here? There's been some buzz that they've been in trade discussions, maybe a position player like Arise or Kepler for a pitcher. What do you think? This is what they've been focused on for 3 months, and now they can do other things. So
I've heard they're really getting lowballed on Kepler. I mean, people want to give assign Kepler's value to the last 2 years, and you can't blame him for that, right?
Yeah, he can't hit.
Nobody's offering him anything. And Arise, for some reason, they just don't value it unless you hit it out of the ballpark. So one of their stats is that somebody told me one of the stats that they've hit fewer for home runs than any other first base had fewer home runs than any other team in baseball. Well, so what? Now you got second baseman that hit home runs and shortstops. It's not like the old baseball where the corner outfielders and the corner infielders were all your power and everybody, you know, it doesn't work that way anymore. You need some good at-bats on this team. You need some good at-bats, and that's why you need Arise. And it's stupid that they're going to trade him, but I think they are. And because I think they're kind of mad at him too, because he wouldn't sign they offered like a 4-year deal. They wanted to get him a cheap deal, like they gave Kepler and Polanco, and he didn't take it. But that's any PR you got from signing Correa goes right out the window if you sign Arise, don't you feel?
If you trade him,
if you trade Arise, yeah.
Correa on board with that too. Like I would.
Think Correa wants to hit two. I want Arise hitting one because I get to see 8 pitches, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Nobody more than Correa likes to, he's very scientific about what pitchers are doing to him and things like that. So, yeah, if he's the assistant GM, he's got to be saying, don't trade our leadoff hitter.
So Patrick, is the fence going to be moved in? Your question, I thought, was sort of tongue-in-cheek, and Correa was like, oh, no, we've talked about that fence already.
Well, he gave me kind of a big startled look, like, were you listening to our conversation last night or something? And it was like, because I said, are you at peace with the right field wall? Because you gave it a few dirty looks last year. And he kind of looked and smiled. And apparently they had discussed it. There's nothing they can do. But I don't know. Maybe they can draw a line above
the Detroit's going to move their fences in now. Baltimore created that horrific thing to move their
Already moved them in. Detroit's already moved them in once. They're going to move them in again.
They announced yesterday they're bringing them in more.
Get it, wow. 50 feet over the course of 20 years.
Now, are they going to do something like Baltimore and just maybe they're going to take a like a big part of right center field and just bring two walls in? And then you
cyclone fence, Pat. Through fence. Cyclone fence. Just put a cheap fence in front of the brick and mortar.
And then what was it? Did they have a little? It was just a little. Box, wasn't it, that they did?
Yeah. It was a temporary piece of crap fence for Carew.
And why did they do that? What year was that?
It was about 76.
76, okay. But so the year he hit 14 home runs, 77, was that it? Did they have the Carew fence that
I'd
year?
Have to look.
Yeah, I would have to look too. Yeah, they did. They just built this goofy fence in front of left field. I don't know. People are... It's it's a good sign, but people are also worried about what's this do to Royce Lewis. next time they put Royce in center field, they can hit him some fly balls first, right? They can kind of say, I know you played it 3 years ago in a fall league, but maybe we should have a refresher course here and hit you a couple of fly balls before we come and put you in center field.
Let's talk about the warning track here.
Yes, let's refresh you on the warning track.
Well, Correa, when he agreed to that contract with the Mets, it was to play third base.
Yeah, but who wants him at third base?
I'm saying
if hell of a shortstop, it's stupid.
I know, but in a couple years, if his ankle starts to flare up and he's slowing down,
maybe. But Royce Lewis is a mediocre shortstop defensively.
Could you put Royce at third? Would you rather have Royce at third or center field?
I want Royce probably to be the backup to both those guys and play. When you're the backup to Buxton, you play 80 games, right?
That's true.
Then when you're in center field, even if he plays 120, 40 of them are going to be as a DH, right? He's only going to play, if he's healthy, he's going to play 120 games and half of them are going to be in as a DH. So the backup center fielder who had, they're done with Gilberto Celestino, I believe, at least if Lewis gets healthy, but I can see him being the backup at both shortstop and center field. And maybe play some left field too. I don't know. I think it's going to have to. Well, let's see how Miranda is at third base. I think he's going to be bad. But if he's okay, then I don't know what you do. But
I still feel like even with Correa, this whole thing still kind of hinges on like Alex Kirilloff's wrist, Royce Lewis coming back with his knees. Right? If those things don't happen, I don't really know what this is for the next 3 to 5 years.
The more I think about it, the more I think signing Joey Gallo is a sign of pessimism about Kirilloff. He's going to be able to play. Because to me, he's way more important than Royce Lewis as far as now, especially if Correa signed. But he is going to be, if that kid would have stayed fully healthy, he bats 3, 4, or 5 for the next 10 years.
Yeah,
he's and probably is their best hitter. That is a, he doesn't have the lift. He did not a home run swing, but that is a glorious swing that's gonna, in the modern baseball, you're gonna hit 310 and knock in a whole bunch of runs, and it's too bad. But I mean, this sounds like I had a couple of people tell me this too, not high up in the thing, that basically a last gasp surgery they gave him. But, shortening the bone or whatever the hell it is they're doing. So that'd be too bad because that kid could hit, man. What's he going to do with his life?
Ball. You know, isn't he a big bowler?
Terrible, man.
Become a
he's going to be a bowler.
The pro bowling.
I remember being on the conference call at Target Field and they drafted him 5 years ago and he said he has bowled like numerous 300 games before. He's like a really good bowler. I'm dead serious.
So someone needs to take the mantle from Pete Weber, right?
It's a little. There's a little less money in that for him. But anyway,
who do you think you are? I am.
That's Lewis. Yeah.
What happened to our? We're at Hot Wolfies last night. Can't handle those mighty Pistons. Pistons again, not playing their players, hoping to lose, and they get 130 something.
They ran them out of the gym. The second half was
back to back. Too.
The second half was embarrassing.
And now we got the Edwards controversy.
All of them is quotes to Chris Hine.
Now, what were they? What was
So they declared him out. The hip flared up in the second quarter. They declared him out to start the second half. And then he mysteriously checked back in. So they're like, well, that's pretty rare to have a guy declare it out. And post game, he essentially said, yeah, I told him I could go back in. And his quotes basically insinuated that, well, somebody had to go in and try.
Somebody had to try.
I think he's just disgusted, but I don't blame him for that.
Yeah.
Did Torian Prince get a sprained ankle?
He came back right away, though.
He did. It might flare up a little bit, but
they've needed him a lot more than I thought they did. But he's not played. He's not a bad player. So that would have been bad. But God, what a bad loss. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unreal. So anyhow, the Twins. You know, I looked at the pitching, by the way. There's really nobody to go get. The only way you can get any pitching now is to make a trade. You know, yeah. There's nobody left. Awesome. But Michael Wacha is it as far as the starter. And you know, he wouldn't be terrible, but he's, you know, five and gone, as Phil was pointing out. But, you know, there's nothing. There's no high-priced pitcher to go get. They should have spent it on pitching. There's nowhere to spend it on pitching once about four guys sign.
And I'd rather, if they were going to devote $33 million a year to someone, I'll take the 28-year-old shortstop over the five pitching options and Carlos Rodon. And
I would too. But, you know, people want to be mad at the Twins, and the Twins have given them pretty good reasons, including $400 jerseys.
Yeah, they need to go win games. They need to go win games in a playoff.
Now your next move is to hold a press conference, tell everybody this is a very important announcement, and then tell them you're cutting beer prices by 30%.
There we go.
Yes.
That would bring more people back than kind of signing Carlos Correa, I guarantee you. Yep. Cut the beer prices, and I don't drink, but I feel sorry for the guy paying $13 for a beer. Come on, cut beer prices.
Pat is a man of the people, a man of the drinkers. We're going to get your
ahead. I'm at the thing next Thursday, maybe that'll be my speech at the Diamond Awards.
Mayor of Target Field.
Cheaper beer. Come on. Let's go. Here.
Drink responsibly, but drink a lot and drink cheaper.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
All right. We'll get your official Vikings Giants breakdown tomorrow, Pat. So
I love I love the fact that so many people are mad that people are picking the Giants. Well, first of all, everybody's got to pick an upset the first weekend, right? And this team's easy to pick against, right? Because they might come out and stick. And then they might come out and win by 25. So anyway.
Yeah, go win the game. Yeah. All right. All right. See you, Pat. All right. You can find Royce multiple days a week on the Royce Unchained podcast feed and also here on the Score North YouTube channel. See you guys.